You're listening to Rosemary Goes to the Mall, the saga of one woman's lonely journey around the Mall of America. I had kind of a bad day yesterday. I entered the realm of shopping, which I never intended to enter when I started this project. I actually started to shop for myself and bought multiple things that I had no intention of returning. The whole point of this project was to find a painless way of obtaining all these bags for all the different stores in the Mall of America. But it's turning out to be not so painless, which is disturbing. I'm definitely experiencing a lot of guilt about buying things for myself, even if I really, really love them and even if I got them on sale. Shopping is just not something I do. And spending money on clothing or somewhat extraneous things is pretty out of character for me. Even though I always want things, I never allow myself to get them. I think that it's becoming stressful for Keith that I'm doing this project. He asked me last night if I would please take care of paying the credit card bill so that he wouldn't have to look at it. I brought home these bags of stuff, and I said jokingly on the phone that I had started to buy stuff that I wanted to keep, and he got this really weird tone to his voice, which was like, I think he's stressed out. I think he's worried that I'm going to go crazy and I'm going to buy all kinds of stuff for myself that I really don't need, and he's going to have to pay for it somehow. And I have to say that I'm feeling a little bit of that danger myself. Yesterday, I got the clothes at Nordstrom Rack, all of which I loved. I'm wearing the jeans today. They will be well used. I got those two pairs of sneakers at Sports Authority. I wore the walking shoes today, this morning. I got up early and I went and I walked around the lake. And I was a little worried at first, because, you know, once you wear them, you really can't take them back. But my left one fit much better than my right one. My right foot felt a little tight. So I was a little like, oh no, I just wasted $50 on shoes that are going to be uncomfortable, knowing that I would just have to keep wearing them because there would be too much shame in wasting money on something like that and then not actually using it. I think it stretched out by the end of the walk and my feet were feeling fine. So I think that those are going to work out very well. The Pumas, I'm having some intense guilt about the Pumas. I couldn't bring myself to tell Keith about them directly because I told him about the walking shoes and he said, So those you're going to keep, in this kind of stressed out way. And I figured we'll just break him in gently to the things that I bought. We'll just pretend that it wasn't that much. And I'll just, you know, every few weeks or something, I'll pull out something new and maybe he won't notice that I really spent a ton of cash on myself on that trip. So I take the Pumas and I took them and I placed them in our closet. They're on my side with my shoes. I doubt that he will notice them, But my hope is that maybe they'll enter his subconscious through his peripheral vision, and he'll get used to them, used to the sight of them. And then when I actually pull them out and wear them, he will be so used to them, he won't say, "When did you get those Pumas?" And then I won't have to tell him that not only did I spend that $50 on the walking shoes, I spent another $60 on those Pumas, which are total vanity sneakers. They're not even useful sneakers. They're really just for looking cool. This is not something that holds a lot of weight around my house, unless looking cool costs about $10 or $15. I do think, however, that Keith, like myself, has a complicated relationship to shopping, because as he's freaking out a little bit about my spending all this money, he also starts to ask me for things. He saw me this morning wearing my Adidas slip-on sandals around the house, and he said, "I want a pair of those too," which was clearly a directive for me to go out and purchase him a pair. He asked me if I saw any dumbbells, you know, those little ones, to buy him a set. And he definitely put in an order for socks of several different kinds. So these are not extravagant wishes. However, I do think it's interesting that he starts to covet also. In any case, the returns go very smoothly. There aren't very many of them, because I'm keeping so much. I did decide to take back the Franklin Covey wallet and the Body Shop mask. And so it may be that I simply do not experience a facial mask in my lifetime. We'll see. Maybe there are still a few years left for me to do this. I go to Champs, the home of the Inside Out Foot Locker bags. And I go to return a few things. We're keeping some of the socks. We're keeping the black socks I got for Keith and a little set of white no-show socks for me to go with my walking shoes. But I'm returning the Nike bag. I'm returning the pink Nike flip-flops. And I'm returning one pair of socks that I thought was kind of frivolous. And on my way up to return those, I noticed that they do in fact have men's Adidas slip-on sandals, on sale for $20 each. I call Keith briefly to confirm that he is a size 13 and, check with the salesperson to see if they have a pair, which they do. So I end up exchanging those things for this, and I still get about $20 refund back. But Keith gets his Adidas slip-ons after all. Now, once I finish the returns, I am right back where I ended yesterday, which is Spirit of the Red Horse. And, boy, I hate stores like this. This store is filled with Native American kinds of stuff. Everything from coasters to eagle feathers to really stupid books called The Wisdom of the Native Americans. I decide when I'm in this store that I have to find a way to combat the boredom of having to buy something from every single store, that I can't sustain this thing where I'm trying to buy things that I like, because I'm just going to burn out on that. It's not that I don't want certain things, and I know that this will go out the window in certain places like Swatch store. I know I'm going to want to buy something for myself there. Where else? I have a couple places in mind. A Swatch store. H&M is always a tough one for me. I really always feel I need to buy something when I go in there. And I know that there are other ones that will come up for me as well. Oh, Old Navy. I need to buy some kids' clothes, so I know that I'll end up buying some stuff that I want and that I want to keep. But really, what I decide is that I'm going to have theme days. And today, I decide that my theme is going to be buying things that I hate. And this will serve as an antidote to what I did last time, which was buy things that I liked and that I don't want to return. And this is going to become really problematic for me. So I decide that I'm going to switch gears and buy things that I hate. And this is very easy to do in the spirit of the Red Horse store. There are so many options, I almost don't know which to choose. But I narrow it down by not wanting something that's going to be too heavy that I have to carry around everywhere. I'm tempted to go off my project with this book, which is like, you know, 100 different kinds of salsa cookbook. Really, what am I going to do with that? But it sounds interesting. And what the salsa cookbook is doing in the Native American store, I'm not sure, except it has kind of a Southwest kind of a feel to it. But I settle on this thing, which is called a vision product. And it is a Native American-y type thing with a leather strap, animal fur, bird feathers. Some of the leather has been cut into strips. And in the animal fur, there's been placed an artificial wolf's head. I think it's a wolf. Maybe it's a coyote. I think it's sort of wolfy looking. And it is so dumb. So dumbass, really, that it seems easy to say that I will buy this ugly, ugly thing that trivializes, as it pretends to celebrate Native American culture so brilliantly. It's made by a couple guys, brothers, who I'm assuming are Native. I don't know that for sure. You can't tell. But they make these products and they make a big deal out of this in this store. But everything in this store to me tries to act like, ooh, Native Americans, oh, they're so spiritual. But actually there's, it's all fantasy. There's nothing actually real happening in this space at all. So anyway, I settle on that's the end of my lecture on attitudes about Native Americans. I buy this dumbass thing and I'm going to bring it home and I'm going to be happy to return it next time. My next store is the Mall of America store, the gift store, Mall of America gift store. And I immediately decide to break my oath to buy things that I hate. Because there's this cute little Mall of America t-shirt, and I think, wouldn't that be hilarious to have a Mall of America t-shirt for myself since I'm doing this project? And they have pink ones, which I'm not so into, but then they have brown ones with pink lettering and design on it. And I find one in my size, and I go up and I purchase it. That's that. I decide to get back on the wagon for Beat It, which B-E-A-D. So it's a store all with beads, an exclamation point after it. So Beat It. And it's, one of these little hobby craft stores also selling jewelry. So I decide I'm going to, just find the ugliest thing in the store and buy it and return it. And I pick out some strands of beads. And then I'm kind of floating around because I'm kind of thinking, well, is that really the ugliest thing in the store? Are there other things that are uglier? They actually have some bins with these nice loose beads in them. But I mean, what am I going to do with that? anyway, I'm here to buy something I hate. So I pick out these strands of beads and I'm heading up to the counter, and then I see the sign that is on the counter, which says, "All sales final. No exchanges or returns." And then it says something like, "Make sure you like it," or "Make sure you're sure," or something like that. God damn it. You know, so foiled again. I have to actually buy something cheap, which will be big enough to get me a bag with a logo on it, but which I can live with and will not mind owning for the rest of my life. I consider buying my mother a pair of earrings since her birthday is coming up, but she has so many pairs of earrings and it just seems like a frivolous gift. And I'm not even so crazy about all of these ones. If they were sort of unusual, maybe that would be worth it. While I'm looking at these little bracelety type things, I push out, I have it around my fingers and I push out to see if it stretches, which it turns out it doesn't because the string immediately breaks and the beads fly all over the store. So I have to tell them that and they look a little bit nonplussed, but they're pretty nice about it. I finally settle on these glass beads, these vintage beads that are brown, and I figure I'll wear them sometime when I'm getting dressed up. I mean, they're only 10 bucks. I don't hate to own them. They're not exactly something I would wear all the time, but you know, what the heck? I can live with these. Now, Beat It seems like kind of a highlight for this strip of stores. We are in a strip of stores that are so dumb and cheesy, I don't quite know what to do. In fact, cheesy is exactly the right word that I've stumbled on, because the next store after Beat It is Ribicky Cheese. Ribicky, I think that's how you pronounce it. It has a cheese, what would you call it, case. It has a cheese case with all kinds of cheddar cheese. In fact, they have some cheddar cheeses that are shaped like animals. There are some that are shaped like the state of Wisconsin. There's some that are shaped like the state of Minnesota. This turns out to be a Wisconsin-oriented store because it is also filled with Green Bay Packers paraphernalia. I'm wondering what a Wisconsin store is doing in this very Minnesota-y place. But I guess there's tons of Green Bay Packers fans out there. Maybe a lot of people from Wisconsin come to the Mall of America because it's so close to them, really. There's a lot of Brett Favre stuff here. So then I'm in a dilemma. I'm still trying to buy things that I hate. I don't really hate anything in here. It's just irrelevant to me. Do I buy some cheese and we can all enjoy some genuine Wisconsin cheddar? Which would not be returnable, by the way, I'm sure. Or do I buy Packers paraphernalia, which I can't even really look on it as a joke. It's just, like I said, it's just irrelevant to me. I settle on Green Bay Packers stuff, and for a while I'm thinking about this baby set of a little onesie and booties with the Packers insignia on it. I don't know. Right now I'm sitting there looking at this stuff, thinking up excuses I'll use when I bring it back. That's the level to which I've sunk. I finally settle on this Action mascot, which looks like it's a Green Bay Packers guy, almost like a puppet size player. And it looks like the arms shoot out and punch at someone. I don't know. I can't take it out of its bag to see what it really does. It seems stupid enough, though, to satisfy my need to buy something I dislike. And I verify their return policy because I don't want to get stuck with this thing. And you can indeed return stuff with a receipt within 30 days. So that's what I'm going to do. The stores just keep getting better and better. Right next to Ruby Key Cheese is Love from Minnesota. Yeah, it's pretty easy to find something I hate in here. I immediately pick out a pink visor that says Minnesota on it in pink cursive letters and think, okay, I hate this. I can happily bring this back the next time that I come. But I somehow feel compelled to continue to look through the store, and I come across these little kids plates that are on sale. In fact, they're on clearance, so they're not returnable. And they say Minnesota on them. They're these little plastic plates, you know, that kids eat out of. They say Minnesota on them, and then they've got Paul Bunyan with his hand on the head of an ox. So Paul Bunyan is, you know, 50 feet tall or whatever, and he's standing right next to this ox, bull. I'm not really sure. And he's standing in front of a log cabin. These plates are on sale for $1.99 each, and I simply cannot resist. They're not returnable, so I'm going to have to keep them. And I decide to get the visor and the plates. I'm not sure why, because I would save myself a trip if I didn't have to return that visor. But somehow in the spirit of buying something that I hate, I feel that I have to keep that one. And we just keep going down the line of crappy stores that I don't want to be shopping at. The next online is Wild Bird Store. And actually, I wouldn't mind buying something from here because they have all kinds of bird feeders. But I stick to my guns. I'm going to buy stuff that I hate because I've been falling down here and there. And I feel like I need to get back on the wagon with this. So I keep looking and looking and looking. They have these hummingbird feeders. I would love to attract some hummingbirds into my garden. That would be so fantastic. But okay, nope. I'm going to buy stuff that I hate. They've got all kinds of stuff that's kind of cool. And I'm not a big bird person, but there are so many birds here. It would be great to have a bird feeder and, you know, attract some of them around. But instead, I pick out a forest face, which I saw recently on one of my neighbor's trees down by the park. It is a face that you stick onto a tree trunk so it looks like the tree is alive, like it has a face. And it reminds me a little bit of the yurts in The Lord of the Rings. Really, really dumb stuff. We are talking cheesy, cheesy, cheesy behavior by people putting these things on the trees. So I immediately know that this is what I need to get. I bring it up to the counter and I start to feel guilty because there are people talking to her, asking if they have such and such. And she explains that they're not that store. They're this other store that's a local, basically a mom and pop wild bird store. And I don't know, I start to feel manipulative again. I don't mind these big chains or these dumbass stores, but here's people who really kind of care about wild birds and they have this store and they're trying to make a go at it. And here I am, you know, buying something and then returning it, knowing that I'm going to do it. And they probably have to pay credit card fees on this thing for me. And I know it's not a huge impact, but I do start to feel kind of bitchy again. I don't like feeling that way. Anyway, it doesn't stop me from going ahead and buying the forest face, which I put up on the counter, and she immediately says, "Oh, I love these things. They're so cute." And so then I'm back to my resolve of that this is stupid and I'm buying it because it's stupid and it's going to get returned. And I lose my feeling of guilt when she responds that way. Because there's so much stupid crap there out there in the world. And they are just supporting that by carrying dumb things like this. Anyway, that is going back to Wild Bird as soon as I can get it back. Continuing on our theme of dumbass stores, next in line is Al's Farm Toys, which is has a display window filled with cows painted with different designs and colors. Little cows, like cows that maybe kids would play with, not big cows. It reminds me of some of those art projects that they've done in different cities where they give all these different identical cows or identical other objects, pigs, whatever, to all different artists all over a city, and they each design one and put them all over the city. That's what these cows look like, except they're small. I'm really not sure what to do here. Once again, it's not that I hate any of this stuff. It's just totally out of the realm that holds any interest for me. It's just meaningless. I can't even find a way to hate something in here. But I then end up in an aisle with John Deere stuff, and they have some miniature tractors and things like that. But they also have life stuff like clocks and matchbox holders and all kinds of stuff. And I figure I'll get something from here. It's kitschy, and so even though I don't hate it, it will fit in that realm anyway of stuff that I don't really care about and I can bring back easily. And I settle on a set of 4 burner covers for the stove that say John Deere quality farm equipment on them. And they're probably the kind of thing you're supposed to bring to your cabin and put on your old stove, old-fashioned stove that's in your cabin up north. But they're utterly useless objects, really. And that's kind of why I like them and decide to buy them. So I'm just on a roll here. Boom, boom, boom. Buying stuff in every store that I don't like, mainly that I don't like. Next to Al's Farm Toys is Lids, which is a store devoted entirely to baseball caps. And this, you know, it's getting a little tiresome. I have to say, this row of stores is a real dud row of stores. It's just cheesy junk. But here I go. I'm going to buy one. I could actually use a baseball cap, just a plain one, because when I get up to walk in the morning around the lake, I usually have bedhead because I cut all my hair off last summer, and it used to be it just would look tousled and, you know, bad, but now it sticks straight up. So one of the things I have to do at 6 o'clock in the morning when I get up is wet down my hair and try and make it go down instead of straight up. So I was thinking that a baseball cap actually wouldn't be such a bad thing, but I really need to stick to my guns today and not buy a bunch of stuff that I actually want to keep. If I do that, I will be poor. And Keith will be really mad at me. He probably has a baseball cap that I could wear. So I need to ask him before I go and spend $20 on one that's brand new. So I gravitate towards the really bad baseball caps, and I settle on one that looks a little bit like a lumberjack's baseball cap, and it's got a Miller High Life decal on the front, and on the back is embroidered on it, Champagne of Beers. And then again, this falls less into the hate category and more into the kitsch category, which I'm pretty comfortable with. And I'm also pretty comfortable with returning it. Air Traffic is another store in which I really cannot summon up any hate for anything. It's a toy store that focuses on things that fly, like kites. They've got, honestly, they've got things that don't fly in here too. They've got a game section, and they have the Rubik's Cube, and then apparently they now make Rubik's Cubes with that are 4x4 and 5x5. So if you thought the Rubik's Cube was hard, just wait till you have to do the one with 4 across and 5 across. Anyway, I can't summon up any hate for any of the stuff. I think, well, maybe I'll buy something completely inappropriate that I wouldn't want to give to my kids. Like maybe a girl thing. Like there's one of those, you know, those poles with horse heads on them that you can, you know, put your legs around and pretend like you're riding a horse. They have one that's a unicorn, which is so girly. I mean, obviously I would never get it for my boys. So I think about that, but that's kind of big and I have to carry it around everywhere with me. So I settle on the marshmallow shooter. And the reason I feel that this is inappropriate is it's basically shaped like a machine gun, and it takes me a while to figure it out. It's filled with these little soft pellets, and it says on it, rapid fire over 30 feet. It turns out that what you're supposed to do is fill this thing up with little mini marshmallows and use them instead of these foam pellets. But what really gets me, I mean, other than the fact that it is shaped like a machine gun, and so you are basically encouraging your kids to use a machine gun, which, okay, guns are a complicated thing when you have boys, because you could keep all gun-like objects out of your house and they would pick up a Barbie doll or something and pretend it was a gun. So there's, you know, there's no escaping the gun thing for most boys. I'm sure that there are some stellar, perfect little boys out there who succumb to their parents' will and don't desire guns. But certainly my two boys love any game involving violence. Anything will become a gun. Anything will become, it's not even guns anymore. It's like laser blaster shooter things. I see my 2.5-year-old regularly playing dead in their games. Like Evan will use his laser blaster shooter gun thing on him, and then they will have an elaborate conversation about how Garrett is supposed to act like he dies and then falls on the ground and is dying and then is dead. And so it's not like I'm super prissy about guns, because, you know, they're around in our psyche all the time these days. However, for some reason, this toy really presses my buttons. It's a little over the top in terms of the form of it and how much it's like a real gun, even if you're supposed to shoot marshmallows at each other. But here's what really, really pushes me over the edge to buy this thing, is that it has on it a sticker, which is from Creative Child Magazine, and it's Creative Toy Awards 2004 Seal of Excellence. And this kind of amazes me. I mean, you see these kinds of seals and stickers all over the place, but on a gun toy? I'm not even a prissy mom, and I think that that's a little much. Does this really make your child be creative, shooting marshmallows at his friends or at his little brother, pretending to kill him with marshmallows? How does this toy in any way encourage creativity? It doesn't. It's a ridiculous toy, and it's promoting a kind of violence that I just can't get behind. And I know I probably sound like a complete hypocrite saying that, but that's how I feel. That's my guttural reaction to this thing. Wow. Moving on. I bring the marshmallow shooter up to the counter, and I have this funny conversation with the guy where he says, as I am leaving, "Have a great day." And I say, "You too." And he says, "I always do." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Every morning when I wake up, I say to myself, have a great day today. And I do." I said, "Well, good luck with that." And just, he didn't even look like that type, you know, the super self-helpy, I'm going to talk my way into being successful and happy type. He just looked like a guy who worked in a toy store for extra money while he went to college or something like that. It was really bizarre to have that interaction. So after being wished to have a great day and finding out that my sales guy always has great days, I make my way to Goldie's locker room, really getting towards the end of the strip here, but I still have maybe four or five, maybe three or four stores to go. Goldie's locker room, turns out, is another sporty store that has, it's not the Packers this time, it's actually Minnesota-based stuff. So I'm a little more comfortable with this. I still don't really know what to get because, once again, I don't see anything that I hate per se. It's all University of Minnesota stuff and Viking stuff and mainly University of Minnesota stuff. I settle on these baseball hats with little fuzzy yellow ears on them with the big M, the University of Minnesota M. And they are Gophers hats. So the University of Minnesota, their mascot is the Gopher. I have to say, this has cracked me up ever since we moved here. You know, it could be the Bulls or the Vikings or something kind of aggressive and like, we'll fight to the death with our sports teams kind of mascot. The Gophers don't seem, or like, maybe it's not fighting. Maybe it could be something just glamorous or something that's sort of elegant, like a really elegant animal, the Stallions. But no, the University of Minnesota has the Gophers that, you know, burrow into the ground and hide from people. The equation just doesn't add up for me. So I find it ironic that you're supposed to buy these hats with little fuzzy ears on them and then go and, you know, go Gophers, go Gophers. But it occurs to me that Evan has been to a Gophers hockey game with Keith, and it would be kind of funny if he had a hat like this. So I decide to get that. And then at the last minute, spur of the moment, I pick up a second one for Garrett. Why I do this when I'm intending to just return it, I'm not sure. I think I'm starting to slip again here into trying to fit this stuff into my life somehow, when really what I need to be doing is not fitting it into my life. I need to be buying things that I don't want, don't need. There's also one of the reasons I do this, and one of the reasons I choose this object is I always thought when the kids were babies that it was curious how we have these instincts to dress our babies up like little animals. There's always these infant outfits with hats with bear ears and lots and lots of fuzziness. Like we're trying to equate them with little baby animals because they're so cute. And that is part of the reason why I choose that those hats as well. It is something of a relief to get to the Verizon Wireless store after all of these stores that sell stuff that I'm not even interested in. No, you know, these stupid gifty stores. Verizon Wireless, I don't have a Verizon cell phone. I have T-Mobile, but somehow Verizon Wireless feels like a place that's really practical after all that. I figure I'll just buy a charger for some phone I don't own and just get out of there. But then I encounter these cell phone carrying cases, and it's hard to pick which one to get. There are several that really press my buttons. One is this metallic purple one that, oh, they're just, you know, they're really adolescent and weird. But I settle on this gray one, and it's compatible with most flip style phones, which is what I have. I settle on this gray one that has gray fur around the edge, and I would never use this thing. It's more like maybe a teenage girl would want this, but I can't say I hate this. I kind of like it in a weird way, but it fits the bill in terms of, you know, this will be easy to bring back. The Verizon Wireless store is almost to the end of the strip. Next is Just Nails, and I skip that because it's a nail salon. I'm not going to get my nails done, and even if I did, they wouldn't give me a bag for that, and I'm really just in this for the bags. So I walk right past the Just Nails store and go into Things Remembered, a personalized gift store. And here I'm really out of my territory. This is a store where you're supposed to buy an object and then pay for it to be engraved or personalized in some way, embroidered with initials, monogrammed. Ooh, so I'm searching for something that I hate that also does not have an engraving spot on it. And there's not much here that is not meant to be engraved. In fact, pretty much all of it is meant to be engraved because I think that's how they really make their money. Again, I want something that's not too heavy, and it's all metal pretty much. So I settle on this photo book, which has a metal cover. It must be silver. Yeah, it must be silver. I don't know that for sure, but I would assume. And there's space for a photo to go in the front. It has hearts on it. And this week, everything with hearts on it is on sale in the store. So it'll be on sale too, which is fine. And I pick that out and I come up to the front, and I have to verify that this is returnable. I'm a little worried about that because it's an engraving place. And, it turns out it is. And then they want to know if I want it engraved. And of course I don't, because I assume once you get it engraved, you can't return it anymore. And then they want to know, I say it's a gift for my mother-in-law. This is becoming one of my lines. They want to know if I want to buy a gift certificate for her to engrave it, which of course would make sense, but I say no. And I'm feeling like a bit of a fraud at this point. And ultimately, I think what I need to learn is that they don't care. They just want to sell things, sell, sell, sell. And they don't care if I'm weird and I don't quite fit into their expectations of what a customer should be doing. So I just go ahead and I purchase this thing. And I'm really in a realm where I'm uncomfortable buying this. Once again, I don't want to buy anything that I'm going to break or might get damaged while I have it. I really don't want to be stuck with any of this stuff. Outside Things Remembered, the Sunglass Hut is closed, and this is the last store on this line of stores. The Sunglass Hut has its gate pulled down, and there is a note on the gate which says back in 15. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I've done the sunglass thing recently, and although I know I'll have to do it again to get a bag from the Sunglass Hut, I am not anxious to relive that experience quite so soon. So I'm just going to let that be. And I sit down in front of it for a minute just to rest because I'm pretty pooped. And I pull out an orange that I have in my bag and I peel it and I eat it. I realize that people are staring at me. I think it's because people don't really bring their own food to the mall usually. It's like everything you could possibly want is here already. So it's not, you don't see people sitting around on these benches eating from Tupperware or something. They buy fast food here. I, however, just can't handle buying fast food today. I'm going to stick with my orange and I'll grab something when I leave here, but I just don't want any of the food here. So I've finished this row of stores, which means that I've done the entire west side on the third floor, and now it's time to start going downstairs and doing the second half of the west side that I didn't do on this first and the second floors. Now, ideally, I would not do this today, but I felt like I didn't hit enough stores last time. I just got totally tired and pooped out really fast last time. So I'm going to try to go down and do a few more. That would bring me up to having gone to 15 stores if I do three more. I get down to the second floor, and it's all clothing stores. It's all women's clothing stores. So this strategy I've had of just going into stores and buying something ugly or kitschy isn't going to work in quite the same way. And for a moment, I think, oh, just bag it. We'll do clothing stores next time. I don't really have a lot of energy today. However, I get this little mini second wind, and I think maybe you can't have the same strategy. Maybe you can't just buy stuff that you hate. Not that I was oh so successful at doing that today, really. Maybe for the clothing stores, what needs to happen is I need to pretend I'm a totally different human being. Like buy things that I would buy if I were a completely different person. So stop trying to buy things that I like and start saying, you know, I am this cheesy or wealthy or fancy person. And what would I buy if I was that person? I pass by Tall Girl. I just don't have it in me to go into Tall Girl today. I am a pretty tall girl, but this idea of being someone glamorous doesn't seem to fit into Tall Girl stores. So I decide that I'll tackle that one later. And I go for Everything But Water, the swimwear source. This is a pretty easy place for me to pretend to be someone I am not because it is filled with bikinis. And not just bikinis, but like way over the top bikinis. And while I'm not gonna go buy that thong bikini that is over there in the corner, I do gravitate towards this rack, which has these sort of sophisticated, like the kind of bathing suits probably wealthy people in New York wear on the beaches of Southampton if they have this vision of themselves as being super sexy. And I'm looking at this bikini, which has, it's black with sort of gold chains everywhere. There's gold chains between the front panel and the back panel on the bikini bottom. And I'm thinking, well, this is right. This is up this like Gucci kind of alley. But then I spot that the leopard skin bikini that has tortoise shell links between, you know, the two breasts and then and between the sides on the bikini. And I think, oh no, no, the leopard skin, this is my bathing suit. And I'm going to try it on. I go back into the dressing rooms, and you have to put on this little protective underwear thing, which is exactly the same kind of thing that they make you wear when you go get a bikini wax. It's like a little paper pair of underpants that really don't cover anything. But I put those on because I believe in hygiene. I think that that's cool. You know, I can live with that. And then I pull up, I put on the bikini, and I am kind of surprised. I could look worse than this. I'm still more comfortable in my Lands' End black tankini that I recently ordered online, and I'm very happy with. It kind of covers all the fatty parts and sort of slims me down a little bit. This is funny. I mean, this is a strapless bikini it's sort of strapless. It's strapless. It can be strapless, or then it has a tie that is tied to the tortoise shell, circle in between the two sides of, you know, the two breasts on the bikini. And there's a tie that goes up and can be tied around your neck. So you can have it on and then take it off if you're sunbathing and, you don't want any strap lines for your suntan. All in all, I could lose 10 pounds and look better in this. However, I think I'm pleasantly surprised. And, you know, God knows I would never wear a leopard skin bikini really, but I do feel like this is kind of fun to try this on a little bit. The Origins store provides the same challenges for me as Body Works, or what is it? The Body Shop, sorry. And what was the other one? Crabtree and Evelyn. Although Crabtree and Evelyn is just dumb because it's just gifts. It's not really useful stuff or super pampering stuff. Origins is more like the Body Shop in that, yeah, I would love to spend $25 on a bottle of shampoo that would last me a week. I would feel exquisite. However, it doesn't quite make sense to me at the same time. Again, there's just huge gift packs everywhere. And I think about getting one just to be easy about it. But then I think, no. Let's continue with this idea of being someone I'm not. And I gravitate towards these terry cloth spa wraps. It's like not a towel, and it's not a bathrobe. It's a spa wrap. So when you go to the spa, which of course you do all the time, you have your own spa wrap. You can actually just wear it. You don't have to fuss with actually pulling that towel around you and tucking the top of it in. You have an elastic cover and an elastic band around the top, and it just stays up. It's that efficient. So gone are the days of fretting over whether your towel is going to fall down or not. You have your own spa wrap here. And I get this, the nice lime green color. It's very, very light green. And I think, yeah, this is the spa wrap that I would want if I went to spas all the time. Okay, I've almost done my 15 stores. I need to do one more, and then I'll hit 15, and then I'm going home. So I've got my spa wrap, and I head directly for MAC Cosmetics. And as soon as I enter this store, I think, oh God, what am I going to do in here? I have not worn makeup in probably 15 years, not even lipstick. Occasionally I will put on some lipstick. I'll think, oh, I'll look pretty tonight. I'll, you know, I'll look a little different, a little dressed up. I'll wear some lipstick. And usually what happens is Keith thinks there's something wrong with me because I look weird, because it's that out of character. It's not like he goes, oh, she's wearing lipstick. It's like, what's wrong with your mouth? So I don't even buy it anymore because I feel uncomfortable in it because it's really out of character. And, certainly, you know, my husband clearly doesn't know what to make of it either. So it's not like a super gratifying experience to wear makeup. And just in general, I find if you don't wear it, it seems like such a hassle to actually put it on. So I go into the store, which is all makeup, and think, well, what the hell am I going to do here? And of course, someone is on me immediately asking me if I need help. And I just say, no, I'm just looking. I think, well, I could buy some lipstick, but can I return it? I'm not so sure. And I definitely don't want to get into the world of eyeshadow or anything like that. But I then stumble on these makeup cases, and the one that catches my eye is this huge one. It's like a suitcase. It's like a hard sided big case for makeup. And the only person I know who has one of these is my friend Chris, who is an actress, and you know, she needs things like this, and it's literally just filled to the brim with makeup. It's huge. I mean, it is a ton of makeup. I wouldn't know what to do with it. I'd fill it with something else. You know, it would become something else for me. But I definitely don't need a makeup case this size. Besides, I'm so loaded down at this point, I really don't want another heavy thing. But I go down the line of makeup cases, and there's one that's kind of small, and I think, well, that would be okay. But then I really don't want to just buy things that are small, and they seem like they're copping out somehow. I really want to buy something like, what if I were the kind of person that needed to bring a case full of makeup with me wherever I went? But I find this one that's soft. It's designed by Matt Murphy, whoever that is. And it's big, but it's not heavy the way the other one was. So I zip it open, and it's got lots of little compartments, and it's pretty cute. And I think, well, this would be a damn useful makeup case if I were the type of person to wear makeup, and probably if I were the type of person who had a terry cloth spa wrap and a leopard skin bikini that cost $110, I would also be the kind of person who would have just an enormous makeup case. So I buy it, and it's a pretty glorious thing. I mean, I kind of wish that I could keep it. When I finish my purchase and I go back out into the mall, the next store after MAC Cosmetics is the Sunglass Hut, and I'm still not ready for sunglasses yet. So I'm going to put that off, just like I said I was going to before, and we'll do that some other day. Maybe next trip, maybe not. Soon. And I think it's time for me to pack my bags in the minivan and head home.